Good morning. Welcome to the Covenant Church of Thomaston. Good to see everyone here today. We have a lot going on, so we have new members coming today. That's really cool. After our Gloria, Padre, please remain standing. We're going to do a confession of sin. And we're going to welcome today Jack Haley and Taylor as new members. That's going to be good. So please join us downstairs. We have some ice cream or cake or no egg sandwiches, I don't think. But maybe they'll have some of them white donuts you like. Maybe they'll have some of those down. That'll be cool. Does anyone else have anything they would like to mention this morning or share? Mary?
I would like to mention that next Sunday we will be at the car show. And we'll have a table. I'm hoping it's over by the gazebo. If you would like to help with the table, just let me know. And we'll sign you up to maybe cover a half hour or an hour. And we're also looking for some donations of
There's a there's a basket right here.
Yeah, Ruth put a basket there. So next week, if you want to bring something and put it in there, like just little prepackaged snacks or candy that we can hand out. So thank you.
Looks too healthy. Anyone have anything else they would like to share? There's got to be something more. A lot going on. No? Then let's please stand for our intro. O come, Emmanuel. Gina's not here, so I'm looking for Gina and trying to take a breath, take a moment.
You're doing the call to worship now?
Well, I was going to give him a little break and then have him stand back up.
Okay.
Ted was looking a little tired over there, so I thought I'd let him sit down and take a Now Gina's not here, so I'm going to do the call. And it's a nice tough call that I thought Ted was going to get, but then Gina. So let us stand now for our call to worship. Found in your bulletin. To those who are hungry, Jesus says,
"Come and eat. There's more than enough for all."
To those who are thirsty, he says,
"Come and drink. It's free for the taking."
Stop wasting your money on food that doesn't satisfy. Come to me and you will find everything you need.
Hallelujah.
Father God, what a wonderful day this is. Ring out the old, bring in the new. We have future here today. We have new members joining. We lift them up, Father, and we pray that you hold them in your hands and guide them, Lord, because we give you praise and glory, all praise and glory. It's beautiful outside. We thank you for that. There's change coming on. We're all here. It's such a beautiful day. We lift this all up to you with all praise and honor due, Lord. In your name we join together and pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. First Chronicles 16, 1 through 6. They brought the Ark of the Covenant and set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being before God. When David had finished offering the burnt offerings and offerings of well-being, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he distributed to every person in Israel, man and woman alike. To each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. He appointed certain to the Levites as ministers for the ark of the Lord to invoke, to thank, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief, and second to him was Zechariah. Jaziel, Shamaramoth, Jael, Mathathiah, Eliab, Benathiah, and Odabim, and Jael were the harps and lyres. Asaph was to sound the cymbals, and the priests Benaniah and Jehaziel were to blow trumpets regularly before the Lord, the covenant of God. Our second reading is from Psalm 78, 1 through 7. Give ear, O my people, to my teachings. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable and will utter dark sayings from the old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming of generations the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that in the next generation might be known to them, their children yet unborn, and raise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And recite our confession of sin. It's found in the back of your blue hymnal, number 907. Let us first take a moment of silence to confess your sins. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry and too real to hide and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May Almighty God have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, and strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. Father yells from his lazy boy in the living room to his son, "You better hurry up. The Millers are going to be here in a minute to pick you up and take you to Sunday school." As the boy continued to get dressed, he hollers back, "Dad, did you go to Sunday school when you were a kid?" And the father replied, "Why, yes, I did." The boy quietly says to himself, "Yeah, it probably won't do me any good either." All throughout history, God has issued the next generation obligation to his people. All throughout history, God has said, teach your children in every season. Jesus told us in last week's sermon, the first and greatest command was love the Lord your God with all your hearts and all your souls and all your minds and all your strength. And that the second greatest command is to love our neighbors as ourselves. I'm pretty sure if there was a third great command, it should be, pass on your love of God to the generation which follows you. There's a painting which depicts, I've always loved Norman Rockwell. I always thought he paints beautifully. When I was in art school, we went to a museum and had all his works from the Boy Scouts. And I remember looking at it going, this guy's lousy. I go, you don't have those colors in your hands, the greens and the purples and the thing. And I kind of looked down on my hand and I'm going, yeah, we do. You know, you just don't see it, but he could see things. But he'd always tell stories, or he'd take you down memory lane, or he'd give you something to laugh about, or he'd give you something to think about. And there's one painting which depicts a mother dressed in her Sunday school best. She's followed by a couple of well-dressed, freshly groomed kids with their Bibles under their arms, and they walk past their dad, who's sitting there looking guilty. He's still dressed in his pajamas, and he's slouched in the chair with the paper. I'm sure Rockwell painted this painting with more than one point to make, but one which fits well with our scripture today is that sometimes we need to think about just what we're teaching our generations to come. Teach them to know him. Teach them about him. Teach them to love him, and let others know about him too. That's the challenge and the call to our next generation. That's what Haley and Jack and Taylor's family and this church have done to get them to this point today, this exciting day for them. I think it's more exciting for me than it is for them, but we're here today to celebrate. I celebrate their commitment as they will join together in this church. Teach them to know him. Teach them about him. Teach them to love him. And let others know about him too. One day, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, a worship leader by the name of Asaph decided to do just that. He decided that his great contribution to God's kingdom would be to pass on his faith to his next generations. So it's about 3000 BC. And David has just became king of Israel. And he wants to move the capital of his kingdom to the mountaintop of the city of Jerusalem. One of his non-negotiables is if you're going to move and the center is going to move his kingdom, then it's going to be where the center of worship is going to be where God is. And what is meant was that the Ark of the Covenant would have to be moved up too. Because the Ark of the Covenant was the place where God's Spirit hovered throughout most of the Old Testament. So King David organizes a big group of people to hold a party. And as the Ark is traveling, 1 Chronicles 16 says, he appointed certain Levites as ministers before the Ark of the Lord to invoke and to thank and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Asaph was the chief. Second to him was Zechariah. Jaziel, Sharmarimoth, Jael, Mathathiah, Eliab, Benathiah, Obadiah, and Jael played harps and lyres. Asaph was the cymbal player. And the priest Benaniah and Jehaziel were to blow their trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of God. So Asaph is the guy who played the cymbals for God as the Ark of the Covenant was brought into the city of Jerusalem. And that happened about 1000 BC. Now, the kingdom of Israel lasted 400 years before it was conquered by Babylonia. The Babylonians slaughtered most of the Israelites and dragged the rest of them into exile on the outskirts of Babylon. 70 years after this, the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians, and the Persians released the Israelites to return to their homeland. The Jews returned to Israel in waves. The description of those who returned in the second wave is found in Nehemiah 7, which says, the number of Israelite men included a list of 80 groups of descendants who returned home. And all the way down in verse 44, it says, the singers included Asaph's descendants, 148. Asaph played the cymbals 1,000 BC. 148 of his descendants were singing to God 500 years later. You can imagine one day, cymbal player named Asaph just began to think about his faith, think about his children, think about the future. He wanted his sons and daughters, and their sons and daughters, and their sons and daughters, and their sons and daughters to love God as much as he did. And he needed to think about what could he do about that. So he wrote the words to a song, and that song became Psalm number 78, a song which preserved faith for all of his generations for well over 500 years. When we think about the pathway of faith, I couldn't help but think about a story of a Sunday school named Edward Kimball. Some of you may have heard of him and know the story. He was a quiet man who lived in the 1800s. He loved the Lord and those who God brought to his church. He especially loved the children. And he had his Sunday school class, and he always go the extra mile to try to teach them something special or to make sure they understood or the lesson was appropriate, memorable, because he generally cared for the kids. And one particular Sunday, he noticed a student was missing from class, so he asked the other boys where this boy may have been, and they were told that he was selling shoes at his uncle's shoe store. And there were tough times, and money was tight. So Ed responded by getting his coat, and he headed down to the store after church. And he found the boy working in the back room. He sat down with the boy while he worked, and he talked with him, and he shared the Lord. And in their conversation in the store's stock room, Ed helped an 18-year-old boy by the name of Dwight Moody come to know the Lord. But it didn't stop there, because D.L. Moody brought another would-be evangelist, F.B. Myers, to the Lord. But it didn't stop there. Myers helped a man named Wilbur Chapman come to the Lord, who converted a former baseball player named Billy Sunday, who then brought a young 16-year-old man by the name of Billy Graham to faith, who may have brought some of you or someone you know to the Lord. Kimbrell's example of conversion exemplifies how the influence of one ordinary individual can have an inspiring word in spreading Christianity through evangelism. Asaph's solution to passing on faith was also simple, and it was effective, as Psalm 78 is an example of just how simple words can preserve such faith in all. Psalm 78 starts with the title, A Maskil of Asaph. Maskil means a teaching psalm. This psalm teaches us something specifically. It teaches us to teach our children. My people hear my instruction, listen to the words of my mouth. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known, and that our ancestors have passed down to us. Basically, Asaph is saying, I'm going to tell you some history. I'm going to tell you some God history. Some things we know about God have been passed down to us by the people who've experienced them. And why am I going to do this? Because I'm convinced we have a next generation obligation. The next generation obligation. Our obligation is to pass on our faith. continuing the things that God has done. We will not hide them from the children, but we will tell the future generations. The praiseworthy acts of God, his might and his wondrous works that he has performed. Our children need to know who God is, and the best way to show them is to show them who he is and to talk about what he has done. God revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ, coming to the earth to see what he was like. And through scripture, which tells us the stories of God's actions, it's done so that we can understand what he's like. It's like letting kids figure out on their own. Someone say, I'm not going to teach my children which foods are good for them. I'm going to let them find out on their own. I always think of throwing seeds. If you just throw the seeds, they grow, they don't grow. Some grow up good, some grow up bad, some die. You have to put care into it. You have to put planning into it. You have to work if you want to see them grow. Asaph decided to teach his children and to teach us about God. To do that, he told stories about God, stories about what God had done in history of his people. And that's what Psalm 78 is all about. Verse 5 says, he established a testimony in Jacob and set up a new law in Israel, which he commended his ancestors to teach their children, to set a future generation of children yet to be born so that they will know. When did he do that? Well, on Mount Sinai, God gave the law and the Ten Commandments. Asaph continued, they were to raise and tell their children so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but to keep his commands. Everybody puts their confidence in something. Teaching what God has done builds our confidence in him. In verse 8, when they would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not loyal and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The first generation, they heard the law on Mount Sinai, but they didn't believe. They had a crisis of faith. God told them to conquer the promised land, but they refused. So God let them die in the desert. Then in the book of Deuteronomy, he gave the law again. The second time, the children believed, and they conquered. And one day, a cymbal player named Asaph looked at his children and said, I want them to walk in faith. How can I help them to do that? His solution was to tell them the stories of God's great faithfulness. And one technique and one practice was so effective that his children's children's children were still singing 500 years later. There's a God who is with us. He is faithful, but he is invisible. You can't see him, but you can see him for what he does. You can see him provide for us. You can see him protect us. You can see him protect you. You can see him comfort and encourage you. Tell your children, tell your grandchildren about how this works. Tell them about the old works in the Bible and tell them about the new works of how God is working in you and how he is working in your family. Charles Francis Adams, a 19th century political figure and diplomat, kept a diary. One day he entered, he said, I went fishing with my son today. A day wasted. His son, Brooke Adams, also kept a diary. It's still in existence. On that day, Brooke Adams wrote, went fishing with my father, the most wonderful day of my life. The father thought he was wasting his time while fishing with his son, but the son saw it as an investment in time. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Asaph's solution to passing on faith was simple and effective. If our kids are going to love God, they have to know what he's done. They have to know what he's doing, and they have to know what he will do. Father God, we're all different. We're all seeds thrown in walkways and fields. Some of us grow, some of us don't. Some of us bloom beautifully, and some of us die on the vine. Father God, we help us to remember all the good deeds and all of your faithfulness. Help us to remember you in all that we do. Help me to remember to share the stories of my own family, of my own church family. And help me to do that. Help us to do that with anyone that may cross our paths. Help us to remember and never forget that you have been so, so good to each of us. It's in your holy name that we pray. There's so many people that we're praying for, Lord. We lift them up silently. We pray for them. We ask for your guidance and protection over our families and our church. We lift up Haley, Jack, and Taylor. We just pray for them, Lord, that you lift them in the direction that they're willing to go and you're willing to take them. Let them know that you always care, that you'll always be there for them, and you will always love them, no matter what happens in their life, and no matter what happens in ours. We lift them up in this church and everything going on in your holy name. We praise and thank you, Lord. Amen.
So, before we do the song, I got to spend a lot of time with Jay. I'm going to throw you under the bus. So, we had a drive down to Stonington, and, he's a hard guy to keep conversation with because you really got to keep things going because he really doesn't like to talk. Right? So, he said to me, he said, hey, listen, my phone's going to go off, my alarm's going to go off, and it's just a reminder to pray for something, and I do that quite often, you know. And, you know, what we pray for is, and for the kids who are becoming members, it's this song that we're about to do. It's about not knowing really God's timing, but know what he's done. And it's kind of like the words in here, we know how the story ends, and it's just kind of like it's a reminder. Sometimes we don't know what God has planned. And it's his timing, and it's all about his timing, so. The song is all about that. I'm fighting a battle you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. Don't know what you're doing, but I know
what fuels our Thanksgiving confirms us as a community of hope, as well as faith and the joy of receiving new members into our church. Haley and Jack and Taylor have confessed their Christian faith. They have been baptized and they have been affirmed enthusiastically by our church. I will call them by name and ask them to come to the front of the church for a liturgy in which we will all participate. Please come forward when I call your name. Jack Christopher Holloway. Haley Jeanette Morton. Taylor Manuel Gomes. Friends in Christ, we are received into the church by our baptism and by our free and sincere confession of faith. These persons have discovered this church to be a place of nurture and growth and a place where they sense the support of others and a desire to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Through prayer and study, they have been led by the Holy Spirit to be claimed in the presence of their relationship with the Lord and members of this church. They share with us the desire to serve Jesus Christ using the unique gifts granted them by the Holy Spirit. The scripture for you, Ephesians 2:19. You are no longer strangers or foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. We are in his house, built of the foundation of the apostles and of the prophets, and the cornerstone of Jesus Christ himself, who believe and carefully join together, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you are also joined together as part of this dwelling where Christ lives by his Spirit. We thank God for you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ has made you part of the universal church and has led you to be united with this congregation. I now call on you to affirm your faith in the presence of God and your brothers and your sisters. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and promise to follow him as Lord? You have made a public confession of your faith and have been baptized. Do you accept the Holy Scriptures, the Old and the New Testament, as the Word of God and the only perfect rule for faith, doctrine, and conduct? Do you intend to live among God's faithful people, to hear God's Word and share the Lord's Supper, proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth? Do you also promise to support the ministries of this church, including the conference and denomination to which we belong? Please join me in the welcoming words found in your bulletin. We, the members of this congregation,
now welcome you with joy into our church family. We pledge to you our love and support, our friendship and our prayers, so that together we continue to grow in the knowledge and love of God.
Members of this congregation, do you receive these believers into your fellowship and care? If so, please answer, we do.
We do.
Kind of exciting. Jay, would you please come forward? Our vice chair will. He will welcome you with love and offer you the right hand of friendship.
Yeah, I'm not going to take an important moment like this and just say, oh, here's your membership certificate, and then sit down. But we do, at first, we want to welcome you as new members of the church. I want to say a couple things. At your confirmation, if you recall, I said you'll be challenged to life. Your faith will be challenged. And I can tell you this, Jack and Taylor, your grandfather Muffy challenged my thinking 45 plus years ago. And some of his thoughts have shaped my thinking since that period of time. And Haley, I had the privilege of spending a week with your aunt, Sarah, in Guatemala. And that was a privilege, and I got to see Guatemala a little bit through her eyes, too. So I want you to just be thinking that the challenge is coming. You guys now have the same responsibility as the rest of us members, even those of you guys who are young. I want you to look around at this congregation, and what you're going to see besides your parents and your siblings are a lot of old people. So the baton is going to be passed to you guys, just as Gary was saying. So be ready to take up that baton. And perhaps the primary responsibility you guys are going to have is telling other people about the good news, the gospel. And the gospel means good news. And really, what is the good news? The good news is we've been forgiven of our sins by Jesus if we believe in him and we trust in him as Savior, right? It's not, everybody's forgiven, everybody's going to heaven. No, but the good news is only good news if it gets to people in time, okay? Because if you're dead, you don't get a second chance. So I want you to join us in this fellowship with a sense of urgency that we have to get the good news to people out there as quickly as we can as we go through life. So I have a certificate for you. I'll shake your hand first. Jack, Haley, Taylor, welcome. And Peter, Jack, Haley.
Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love the good deeds, not neglected to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:23. Father God, we thank you. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for calling your people from death to life and for gathering us together in your church. This is a wonderful day, and we thank you for these friends who have made our brothers and sisters through faith in Christ Jesus. Fill us anew with the energy of your grace that together we may be your people in this congregation and in the community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We are strong now.
Jesus Christ himself who invites you to this meal. The table is open to all who believe and have professed their faith in Christ Jesus. We gather together in the presence of our Shepherd God who calls us each by name, who restores our souls, who leads us in the way of righteousness, and whose goodness and love never stops to pursue us. This is the God we have come to worship. The gospel tells us that on the first day of the week, the day our Lord rose from the dead, he appeared to some of the disciples and was made known to them in the breaking of bread. It is true for us as well. Christ is made known as we break this bread and drink this cup together.
Come to this table, not because you must, because you may. Come to testify, not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on the grace of God, but because in your frailty and sin, you stand in constant need of God's mercy and help. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek God's presence and pray for the Spirit. Please let us now stand for our confession of faith in our Apostles' Creed found on page 878 in our blue hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and he stood at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of sins,
please be seated. Now in prayer with me, please. Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, blessed forever, to you be praise and honor for giving yourself, shedding your blood, and letting your body be broken in death for our sake, so that we might have the forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Bless, O God, this bread which we together eat and this cup which we together drink. Let us through this blessed bread and blessed cup become partakers of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Unite us in one another and with all the saints in heaven and on earth. Consecrate us, body and soul, to be a living acceptable offering to you, so that in word and deed we may continually praise and glorify your holy name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Apostle Paul tells us on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he gave thanks. And then he broke it and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Paul goes on to tell us that in the same way he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And then Paul reminds us that whenever we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the death of Christ until he comes.
Thank you.
Father God, it's such a blessing to be able to share this meal with you, the power of it, the joy of it. Loving God, you have graciously fed us. You who have received the holy mysteries with the bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation, may we who have received this sacrament be strengthened in your service. We who have sung your praises this day, telling of your glory and your truth, we who have seen the greatness of your love, see you face to face in the kingdom. For you have made us your own people by the death and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, and by the life-giving power of your Spirit. In your name we gather, in your name we pray. Amen. Give you all thanks and praise. Thanks that we're able to get out of bed this morning. Thank you that we're able to be here. Thank you that we're able to have new members. Thank you for the life that we have in this church. We thank and praise you this day. We thank you that we're able to give back to you. In your holy name we gather, in your holy name we pray. Amen. You stand up here and I'll stand.
We have a little gift for you.
Oh, thank you.
We want to thank you. We want to thank you for all your years that you stepped up and took care of us and baptized our babies. And taught our kids confirmation and grew our church with the 3 new members today.
Wow.
You
had it all planned.
You didn't baptize my babies, but you did paint my garage.
There you go. You got that going for you.
And sent the few that have passed away into a better place. And you did all that for us. And we appreciate everything you've done for us. And we're going to miss you.
We're definitely going to miss you.
You're welcome. Now we stand? Now we stand. Show you how to eat that food and pound them donuts down. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Go in his peace. Amen.